Okay, looks like our meeting is now streaming live. Is that right?
We have begun the stream. I'll let you know once it's live on YouTube and we can go from there.
Okay.
Okay, I'm in my board meeting.
Okay,
now.
We're good to go.
Let me know.
Okay, well, I'd like to welcome everybody, and for all of you out there watching us on the live stream, welcome. Kind of excited to be part of this first ever virtual regular board meeting. I'd like to call to order the April 16th, 2020 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And now if we could stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Leader's going to be a flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America.
Thank you. Okay, and before we move on to the next item, I really just wanted to take a minute to thank all of our district employees, our students, their families, our community partners, our volunteers, all those who are working on the front lines during this pandemic. Thanks to the wonderful leadership of our superintendent and dedicated work from all of our employees, our district has responded to this crisis just like our motto says, with collaboration, innovation, and inspiration. I'm sure every board member will be commenting at the end of the meeting, but I wanted to make sure we started our meeting acknowledging the amazing work that has been accomplished in such a challenging environment. We're so proud of our district. We're grateful for our staff, students, and their families in our community. So with that, let's move on to the first item, accept a motion to approve our agenda.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Sapp.
Second.
Is that a motion by Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Okay, motion by Ms. Powers, second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next item is our employee of the month. So I would accept a motion to approve Marley Ophile as the employee of the month.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Ms. Allen, would you like to speak a little bit about Ms. Marley?
Yes. Marley is nominated by her fellow employees and works at Northwood as a member of our food service department, and I'll read the comments submitted by her peers. Marley is a valuable employee for Marysville Schools. This past year, Marley started at Northwood Elementary Food Service Twitter account, where she promotes attractive food and healthy choices. She does this by providing pictures of menu items and making it convenient for parents to know what their children are eating. Marley has received positive feedback from parents and staff. Northwood is currently the only cafeteria to offer Twitter in the food service department. This new year has presented a challenge to one of our head cooks. This coworker allowed me to provide the team with updates on her health as the news came out about her condition and the family having to drive to OSU daily. Marley stepped up and asked if it would be okay if she would take up donations for the family. The coworker was transferred to Marysville Rehab Center quicker than was expected, and Marley took that opportunity to visit and present her with the donations she gathered. These donations exceeded $150. The coworker was extremely touched by the kindness shown to her on that day. Marley has also taken upon herself to begin sending birthday cards to each person in our department. This too is a show of her thoughtfulness and kindness, something our world needs more of. Marley is approachable and an excellent listener and communicator, and great communicator, and has never failed to address any ideas or concerns. Marysville Schools is fortunate to have Marley as an employee. She's a leader, hard worker, team player, and excellent communicator and listener.
Yay. Thank you, Marley. How about a roll call?
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you so much, Marley. Wish you were here so we could shake your hand and congratulate you in person, but we appreciate what you're doing. Next up is public participation. Mrs. Allen, did you receive any emails?
We did not. We had the form posted and sent it out on various locations as well as posted on our website, and we did not receive any public participation.
Okay. So just so anybody who does happen to be watching this, normally in our meetings, we do allow people up to 3 minutes to address the board. And so now with this virtual meeting, our solution was to ask people to send any comments as an email. So if we would continue to have meetings virtually, just so that you're aware of that. And in the meantime, if there's ever any concerns or comments, all of our email addresses are available on the website.
It's really not an email, it's a form. So you can just log in and type directly on there. You don't even have to have email addresses and they will come to me.
Right.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, next on our agenda, do we have a High Point report, Ms. Savage?
Yes, we do. First thing, High Point is of course closed down, just like Marysville schools are. First thing is that they have a medical program at their location also, as well as the Marysville location. And they donated all of their PPE between Champaign, Logan, and Union County EMS facilities. They've also donated all of their training beds to Mary Rattan Hospital to be able to prepare for any sort of surge in illness. They're continuing their activity during the shutdown on the construction activities, which will be ongoing for the next several years. And then they have done a reach out program with their SRO and principal to contact students that they have lost contact with during this shutdown period. So they're actually going and making home visits to anyone that the teachers have not been able to make contact with since school has shut down. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments for Nan? Okay, thank you, Nan. Next up, superintendent report. Oops. You're muted. There you go.
All right, I have kind of a long list. Wanted to, first of all, I know I've continued to update all of you on our lunch program. I wanted to give a shout out to Crystal Armstrong and Ryan Walker for all their efforts in organizing such a significant undertaking. As you know, we have moved to a Tuesday delivery service with over 1,200 student names. Each one of the students receives 10 breakfast items and 10 lunch items for the week. And that number has continued to grow. This past week, we distributed over 12,040 meals. So thanks to food service staff, aides, transportation, administrators, everyone that goes towards making this happen for our students. It's been fun to watch that grow. The stadium project, I wanted to hit on that. I'm happy to announce that Drive Stadium at BMS is complete, and that Impact Stadium, we are down to wrap up and punch list items. Some people have even been in and out during this time. School have been closed to try to wrap up some of those remaining items. Next, I'll move on to remote learning. You know, I could not be more proud of the responsiveness of our staff. We were prepared before the announcement, quite honestly, so we could put things right into motion. I sent a communication that you were copied on, I believe it was about 2 weeks ago now, reminding staff that our charge really given to us by the governor is to provide a good faith effort. It's never going to replace what happens with our staff for 6 hours a day or 7 hours a day that students are in session, but a reasonable attempt at providing different activities to engage the mind of kids during this time. Tomorrow, I did send to you last night a very large remote learning plan, which is a responsive to the survey we sent out to parents. I believe that was last week, asking for their feedback. That plan will be going out. K-6 looks a little bit different than 7-12 in terms of the grading portion of that. And that will be communicated tomorrow as well. So that remote learning plan, what I love most about that is it also includes some mental health pieces and things that parents can do with students to, you know, it doesn't have to be an educational exercise. The parent survey that led into help forming that, we heard from 693 families, which is 2,960 students. And really, they were able to give feedback on a scale from 1 to 5. In general terms, tech challenges were limited. 22% said they had them sometimes, and 16% said that they were an ongoing issue, while 62% recorded no tech challenges. 95% of the parents reported that they had had contact from staff that met their expectations, so I thought that was great. 63% of the parents liked the online-offline balance that's currently taking place with in terms of work and workload. And 92% of the families reported that staff had reached out about the well-being of their child. So I thought those were pretty good indicators of what we were doing. Some of the questions that came up around online and offline learning, you can see that reflected in our remote learning plan that I shared with you last evening. Hotspots are still an issue for us. We ordered hotspots really before the surge hit, and we still don't have those in. We have provided what I would call drive-up hotspot connectivity in several of the parking lots in our building or of our buildings. We also have made parents and families aware of different public places like Partners Park, the libraries that also offer that. Issues that have come up around internet connectivity have been quite a bit around data packages. People have internet access, but they're when we're sending a lot of videos and content in that way, they're running out of their package. So we've asked teachers to consider that in their delivery as well. I did have one of you ask about travel. All of our trips have been postponed at this point. So I think the last one really pending before we went out was the trip to Japan. So that has been postponed. Let's see. We are... along with the remote learning plan and grading practices that are going out tomorrow to students and families, We are also going to announce that on February 23rd at 7 p.m., the class of 2020 will be recognized with a virtual graduation. We are working, that's in full swing now. We've been planning some things for a while, so that will be announced to them. We still do plan to host some kind of gathering when it's permissible. One of the things that we struggle with is we don't know when that'll be permissible, so we feel as if we owe them a ceremony that is their night, even if it's just virtual. If we can get together in August after that or December after that, however that works out, we will do that. But we are going to honor them on a virtual graduation, regular graduation time and date.
Can you repeat that date again, please?
Yes, it's May 23rd at 7 p.m., which is regular graduation night. We will be reaching out to Mrs. Devine to make your statement on a video. And I did explain to them it might have to be self-recorded as they put the video together. So basically the video will all be put together and then released or dropped into YouTube at 7 p.m. that night.
Okay. And how did you come up with this decision based on a conversation with seniors, families?
Yeah, so we principals have been talking to senior families for quite some time. It is clear to us that they want to have a ceremony. They really want to be in our stadium. But what's not clear to us is when we can do that. And so in order to try to honor both of those, this is a starting place that we're going to offer to students and families until we can do a larger. We know that if we do something in August, if a mass gathering is allowed, which may be doubtful after listening to the governor today, a lot of students have made the choice to go into the military and would miss it. And we have students that might be, reporting for early to school for different reasons. So we wanted to create a situation where they could be a part of something, even if it was a virtual part, and then we'll plan a celebration of sorts whenever that can take place, maybe over winter break. It does sound like that could be some time, because we are obviously waiting on a vaccine for those conditions. I hopefully you've seen several things going on honoring students. They've been doing a door decorating for the class of 2020. We've released social media frames with the school logo and class of 2020. Tomorrow, Joey Day will be dropping off any spring sport banners that were made and unable to really be used. And the city is going to display them uptown for us. So we're trying to do as much as we can to honor those students and the work and the time they've given to Marysville as well. So those things are underway.
Diane?
Yes.
Yesterday, Sue and I were part of a Ohio School Board Association town hall meeting, and honoring the seniors was one of the topics that was a part of the general discussion. And it seems as if most of the schools, Sue, if I'm inaccurate on this, please let me know. But it seemed like most of the schools were trying to figure out how to handle graduation, and a significant number of them that talked about it were going to do exactly what you have said, and that is to do a virtual presentation of some kind to try and honor the seniors at this time, and then plan to try to do something in person when that was available. So I really appreciate all the work. I know it's going to be a significant challenge, but I agree with what your approach is in that this is the time that we need to try and honor all of the seniors. If it's postponed, we're going to miss people. Lives go on, and it's just going to be compounding the problem of trying to get people together. So thank you very much for working with the parents and the seniors to come up with a plan. I think that was an important component, and I think that's also a component that I see it. We heard about yesterday from the schools that were contacting either the leaders of the senior class or seniors to try to figure something out. I think that having the parents involved is really nice. So thank you very much, and good luck. Good luck to everybody who's going to be involved in this project. It's going to be a significant challenge, and I have every confidence we'll get it pulled off.
Yeah, make no mistake, we don't think it'll ever replace, Brian, I'll be right there, it'll ever replace that, you know, what they expected to end their year, but we're going to do everything we can to make it as special as we can. Mr. Luke?
Yeah. I was just wondering what it was the governor said today that makes you think we might not be able to do a large gathering in August?
Well, he was very clear when it came to things like football games and concerts and things of that nature that that was so far off in the planning, and he could not conceptualize how that would even take place because there were so many precautions that would have to take place that when you brought that many people together, that was the problem. That was a more problematic situation than reopening a business, for example, where you could take temperatures and make sure people are wearing masks and things of that nature. You know, as well as I do, our graduation, probably 3,000-4,000 people come. Some of them just come because it's Marysville graduation. They don't even have a family member as a part, which makes it really special, I think, as our community. But it's a lot of people to be responsible for when you add in, to me, the coronavirus element too. So if we can, we're going to have it. In August, but I think what was really tearing at our hearts is we can't commit to a date, and we feel like we can still control May 23rd. That was their date, and we can control that and provide something, and then anything we can do above and beyond that's going to even be better. Let's see. I also wanted to let you know, as far as moving into next year, we're still moving forward. We're interviewing new teachers on Zoom. You have one of those on your agenda tonight, a new teacher. Scheduling for the buildings is underway. Let's say we come back to school May 4th. We've started preparations for what that looks like as far as masks and how do we keep kids 6 feet apart and what does lunch look like, and we've started those conversations. If we were not to come back May 4th, we feel like a lot of that work will transfer to August. I don't have any plan to share with you as completed at this point. We're just going through those steps, ensuring we have hand sanitizer and thermometers and all of those pieces, and where do we get masks, and can we ask families to make masks, and so that is in the works currently. Todd and I have talked about refunds for kids who paid their spring sport fees and for classes that are semesterized, because they only participated in half of that semester. So we'll be working on refunds once there's a decision on if school will resume or not. So that's in the works. Also, in preparation for next year, by this time we would have already started the process of intra-district transfers and paperwork and et cetera. That's all been pushed off till the end of April. And will all be done electronically. So we are sending out communication on that at the end of April. It will be a time-stamped form. What we are finding with our parents, even though I talked about internet access, most of them have access through a phone as opposed to internet plan. So we'll be moving open enrollment and that online to an online process, open enrollment and transfers. Let's see, I was also asked how many staff we had impacted or would not be receiving pay since this has happened. For us, because our workers are contracted, we only have 19 employees that are not being paid. So 14 food service, support is what they're called. They only work 3 hours a day. And they're considered as needed employees, as well as 5 crossing guards. Everyone else should be receiving a paycheck from us still. I'd also like to thank Nate Andrews publicly. Nate took an idea that I shoved his direction through someone in the community, were making straps on a 3D printer that helped the medical field. So we've delivered to Memorial as well as other companies that are requiring the face mask to be worn. It attaches to the elastic on the side so that you don't have to keep putting it behind your ears. And Memorial has been very appreciative of those. So I want to thank Nate for his leadership and willingness to come in and do those, and Kenny for helping facilitate that, I guess. Girls basketball coach, we're down to 3 finalists in the girls basketball coach process. There's a community committee meeting through Zoom to interview those 3 finalists, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. So those are in the works. Also, the last time if you met, we just completed redistricting. Those letters went out, and we did not have any response back from anyone to date on those changes. And also tomorrow, I should be getting the final information back, but we've worked with Marysville Police Department and the Sheriff's Office to locate kids that we have not connected with. So if there's a student that we have not heard from, we submitted those names, and we've organized Don's organized the SROs to do wellness checks. I explained to him, I'm not looking to get kids in trouble or make them feel like they're in trouble. More importantly, we want to make sure they're safe and see what we can do to support them so that we can re-engage with them. So that's been very successful. Actually, we've gotten a lot of great feedback and have been able to make a couple changes to get people the information they needed. So that's been positive. And I guess last but not least, just a reminder to everyone that all our buildings are closed and that at this point we're only asking essential employees to report. So if it's essential to your job is kind of how we've clarified that. So for example, you may see people in the payroll office as it's getting close to pay time. You may see Jeff and his team are working on a couple special projects in the district that were going to be done in the summer, but they felt like they had time to get it done before May 5th. But we are checking everyone's temperatures. We have hand sanitizer available, masks, and maintaining the 6-foot social distancing requirements as a routine procedure. We also have custodians and maintenance doing checks on the buildings on a regular schedule as well. And I think I'm finally done.
Wow. I mean, Diane, that just, I'm almost speechless, you know. I mean, the amount of details in your report and just everything that has to be monitored and covered, I think it really highlights your leadership. It highlights the leadership of really everybody in the district, you know, from administrators to staff to janitors to support staff. So, I'm really couldn't be happier with everything that's been taking place. It's just amazing.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions?
I'm really excited that so much stuff is continuing. The lunch program particularly, it's nice to know that we're still supporting the kids and parents by providing meals. It's just absolutely incredible that we've got 1,200 kids that are getting meals from us, but I appreciate the fact that everybody that's asking for a meal, for help, is getting it, regardless of whether they were signed up for free and reduced lunches previously and so forth. All the work that's going on, all the things that you mentioned, take a lot of planning, a lot of organization. And I know you and all the people that you work with are just going above and beyond, and really appreciate that. Thank you.
I really appreciate everything that you're doing to make the senior year of these graduating special. It's a very difficult situation for them and their families, I'm sure. So appreciate everything the principals and the staff and administration as a whole are doing to make it special for them.
There's a couple of surprises too I'm not gonna share because I want the kids to be surprised when they happen. So keep your eye out for those.
Awesome.
Diane, I had a question. How much of the guidance about what we count as safe and how to make it safe is coming from the state, and how much of it is left to us as a district?
So I would start with, obviously we always follow whatever the recommendations are from the health department. So all of those pieces. So we work directly with our school nurse. She helps us set up the platform for every entry point. So for example, when people come to work to put meals together, she has a table set up. She takes care of taking temperatures. There's gloves available, masks available. It's now like a little assembly line. We have tables set up ahead of time so they all maintain that distance. So if anyone's reporting to work, we follow those guidelines. That's the bottom line. So I guess some of that probably has some, we have a little bit of flexibility, but I don't know why we would be flexible right now, if that makes sense.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Everybody good with that? Okay, then let's move on to the treasurer report. Mr. Johnson.
Hey, thanks. First, I would note that our fiscal year 19 audit had been completed. I think I'd mentioned that previously, but we were recently told that we would receive the Auditor Estate Award again. So that'll be the third consecutive year receiving that award. So that was good news. I think you should be able to, there should be, I'm going to be presenting the five-year forecast. So you should soon be seeing that on your screen. We typically, before we do the five-year forecast for the board, we do a finance committee meeting. Due to the current circumstances, in lieu of an actual meeting, I kind of email to the finance committee last week, just going in great detail, what changes were in the forecast, giving them the forecast documents, and giving them the opportunity to, you know, make any comments or ask any questions. So we did that already. we did answer some questions, but I don't think there was any disagreements or, you know, if anybody thought that the forecast should be changed or anything like that. So thanks to Billy. Looks like we have the five-year forecast presentation behind you, so we can go to the next slide there. So that first slide is the one we usually like to look at. It shows our revenues versus expenditures. While there were changes, at the same time, this is going to look pretty similar to what you saw last November. There were some minor changes to, I guess I should say, significant changes to revenue, as we'll talk about it on a future slide. But at the same time, the overall trajectory of the revenue, only changed slightly. And expenditures, nothing real significant there. We actually had some decent savings in the current year that I'll talk about again in a future slide. But overall, trajectory of expenditures didn't change a lot. And then the green line showing our ending cash balance, while it did trend down some due to some of the revenue changes I put in place, you can see we're still showing positive throughout each year of the forecast. So still a very strong and stable forecast right now. And go to the next slide. This is the slide that looks at our cash balance policy, the board approved policy. And again, as I showed that the orange dashed line shows our ending cash balance being positive throughout the forecast. So that meets one guideline of our ending cash balance policy. The other part of that policy is having expenditures not exceed revenue by more than 1% in fiscal year end. So we're going to have that in fiscal year 22. We would start to have expenditures exceeding revenue, which means we're going to start eating into our cash balance, eating into our cash reserve. So it's not surprising that that's going to be happening, but it shows there we've got a strong enough reserve that to take us through the forecast. But at some point, that would indicate we're going to have to be looking at a levy, most likely. And we'll talk a little more about that as well. We can go on to the next slide. Feel free to jump in if you have any questions on a slide. So this slide looks at our revenue sources for fiscal year 20. We were pretty much spot on with our projections for this current year. Really, the only difference was in our public utility personal property taxes. That's taxes paid by the public utilities like AEP or utility lines, those kinds of things. We were down by about $250,000. We're still looking into why that's down. Because our values went up. So there's really not really any reason that the revenue would have went down. So we're still trying to find out if that was just some delinquencies or what, if that's something that should be coming back, or if we actually need to change the forecast. So that was really the only change in current year revenue. In the out years of revenue, we did make some significant changes kind of already was in the works a little bit, but was very much sped up, was our interest rates going down. They've really plummeted. Like Star Ohio dropped by, close to 70% compared to this time last year. So I've cut our interest rate projections in half for future years. So I think that's going to go down a good bit. There's a lot of talk, a lot of the state, the revenues, the tax revenues that the state receives, turns around and funds our foundation revenues. Those revenues are being hit with the state sales tax going down, with the state lottery going down. You got the casinos tax revenue going down. So that in turn will end up most likely affecting our funding, depending on how quickly they can get things turned around. So in the forecast, starting in fiscal year 21, I've assumed a 5% decrease in state revenue. Again, I think there's just so much speculation in that's really just kind of a placeholder for now. There's still, I would say, even a slight chance that our state revenue could even be cut this year. That's been discussed. I still think it's unlikely, but it's definitely possible. But I would say it's very likely that revenues would be cut next year. and to what extent, we don't know. Obviously, there's also future bienniums in this forecast. So whether that would be a one-year cut or a cut going forward, we don't know that yet as well. As you can see, our state and local sources are still relatively even. State sources are 51%. I'm sorry, state sources are 48%, local are 51%. So it's still about half and half. This slide, I think, is going to be more and more important as we go. And I think the gap is going to start getting wider and wider as local sources are going to have to be more and more relied upon. And I think the state funding is probably going to start to decline, whether it be because of, a drop because of the lockdown or just because of maybe a new foundation formula that is not as generous to our school. Also note in here that our phase out of the tangible personal property reimbursements is going on. So not only are we looking at decrease in state foundation funding, already in place was the phase out of the TPP. You know, that's, we're looking at a drop of a couple million dollars each year throughout the forecast. So that's, you know, very significant. The next slide shows our valuations. There were some good news this year when we received our new values for 2019 based on the reappraisal. Originally, back in November, we were projecting 7.2%. That actually ended up at 9.4% increase. A couple ways this impacts the district. So if you look on there, the class one total, be the fourth column over in blue, you'll see a very significant increase in class one, about $80 million. A couple points along that line. One, this doesn't lead to even though it's a 10% increase in valuation, that doesn't mean that everybody's tax bill goes up by 10%. As the values go up, the effective millage rolls down so that we collect about the same amount of revenue and a person would pay about the same amount of taxes. Although this does lead to some increase in revenue due to our inside millage, as well as some of that value is based on new construction. So there's a little bit of increased revenue based on that as well. And as we talk about the uncertainty going forward, whether this, temporary lockdown could, push us into a major recession. Obviously there's talk about that, something like that could end up impacting property values. The good news with that, and partly why this is good news of our valuation going up, is that the effective millage works in reverse. So if valuations were to start to go down, effective millage actually would roll back up so that, again, we would collect about the same amount of revenue. If you want to look at the doom and gloom, the scenario, though, would be if the finances got so bad where you started having a lot of delinquencies, that kind of thing, that would obviously have a negative impact on our collections. The next column over, the kind of, pinkish column, class two, that's commercial. And you see there, we actually had a decrease in valuation, our commercial valuations. We went from 168 million down to 165. I wouldn't say that had a really large impact yet. I think we did lose a little bit of revenue because of that. But if that trend continues, that revenue loss would get significant. And again, it goes back to that whole effective millage issue. We've got one levy where we've actually, on the commercial side, we are actually already rolled up to the voted millage. So any loss in value would actually just lead to a bigger loss in revenues. Two or three other levies where we're just within decimals of rolling up to the full voted millage. So something we definitely will be keeping an eye on. If commercial values were to continue to go down, then we would definitely start losing significant revenue. And again, there in the purple shows our PUP valuations that I already talked about.
Quick question, Todd.
Yeah.
Do you have a feeling on why that commercial valuation went down?
A couple things would be, you know, one, I think just a person would just look at Marysville and say that doesn't make sense, just because there is, you know, a lot of businesses going in and things happening right now. Majority of new businesses I think that you'll see are going to be in a TIF area, so that does not help our valuation. Those TIF values, that's a whole separate class. Does not help our commercial values. And then the other issue would be in, I guess I would say, challenges to commercial value through the BOR. So that's something that we look at each year, you know, making sure that any of those requests to reduce values are, I guess, legitimate and backed by, you know, data in a legitimate appraisal.
Thank you.
Yep. So our next slide talks about our expenditures. As I noted, in fiscal year 20, there were some decreases in expenditures. And actually, since I sent you the forecast originally, I've made one change already, because I could change something every day based on new information. But this one was significant enough to include. The biggest savings in the forecast this year for fiscal 20 is on the benefits line. We had received a refund from the BWC of about $160,000. We received a $60,000 dental insurance premium holiday. Also, our health insurance premiums were lower than anticipated. But the item that we actually just found out about this week is that the BWC is going to be doing an additional premium refund. And it should be hitting either later this month, if not early in May. And that's going to be an additional $164,000 or so for the district. So I've included that in the forecast as well. So that's the most significant line where we're saving funds. We are going to be saving some money in supplies this current year. We were already trending under budget. I think the lockdown's only going to increase what that looks like with savings. And overall, just looking at the lockdown, you know, there will be some savings due to that. You would look at bus fuel. You know, obviously we're not transporting students right now, so there'll be savings there, probably in the five digits. We're going to be saving significant revenue on significant expenses on utilities as with the buildings being closed. The bills that we just paid were for March, so there really wasn't much savings to be had there. If you would have compared to last year, you know, part of the week that we were shut down in March would have already been spring break anyway. So not a lot of savings there so far, but obviously April will bring some significant savings. And then also there's going to be savings in supplies, you know, as staff and students aren't in using copiers and copy paper and those kinds of things. I would project, if, you know, assuming that we're shut down the rest of the school year, that all those savings, you know, could, you know, get into the low six figures, you know, $150,000, maybe somewhere around that range, if we're closed down for the rest of May as well. In the out years of the forecast, I really didn't make any significant changes. The only real change was to kind of decrease the trend of the benefits expenditures based on current year. So that did go down some, but otherwise I didn't change any of those other assumptions. So the next slide, just kind of looking at the big picture of the forecast. I'll start off with kind of the doom and gloom bullet points. As I mentioned, there's a lot of uncertainty with the state revenue. So we're looking at each week, just talking and finding out, you know, what changes might be coming next. Like I said, I really don't anticipate we'll have cuts this year, but it is still possible. But we'll wait and see, you know, what that looks like for fiscal year 21, fiscal year 22 and 23. That's a separate biennium. So that's anybody's guess. And then also in the forecast is fiscal year 24, which is again another biennium after that. The second bullet point there, federal funding. I think it's likely that our federal funding would be cut next year as well. What that most likely means is that expenditures that would have been paid for out of those federal funds would have to move over to the general fund. The vast majority of our federal funds are spent on staffing. So that would be impacted. And then also we talked about the potential that a long-term recession could have on property values, property tax collections. I think we're fortunate that it shouldn't have a major immediate impact. But again, just determines, you know, I don't like to talk worst case scenario because I don't know how bad a worst case could be. But as it looks right now, it wouldn't look like the property tax revenue would be, you know, a major impact. But, you know, we'll just have to keep an eye on that. The last two bullet points are a little more on the bright side. As I said, you can see on that first slide when it shows we're positive throughout the forecast. We've got a very strong reserve right now, provides us the ability and the flexibility to, you know, make plans instead of making rash decisions. And also just noting that our last new money levy was passed back in 2008. So we're already at 12 years since our last new money levy. For the last couple of years, we've been saying we're looking at most likely 2023 for that next levy. The current forecast, that doesn't change. We'd still be looking at that year, 2023, which is 15 years. You know, if the state funding would go down much, much more significantly, that number could be pushed up. You know, it would have to be pretty significant cut for that to go up, you know, push that number up to 2022. But, you know, I think that's, again, the good news of the forecast is that balance. We've got a pretty good cushion to absorb some of those cuts just so they don't get to be too drastic. That's it for me.
Any questions?
Yeah, Todd. Just really a comment. I know on the email that went out to the financial committee, comment that I think was pretty common, all of the responses was that, as you've pointed out, we're in a good cash situation at this point, which helps to provide us some time if things begin to change. There was nothing immediate. And the only concern, as I read the emails, the only concerns were things which we don't have an answer for. You know, what's going to happen in the future, what the legislature might do, those kinds of things. And so thank you very much for the report. It's nice to be in the financial situation we're in. And again, feeling confident about our financial future.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, because a lot of people who have talked about the recession, you know, most analysts project that, you know, if there is a recession, that, you know, things would start looking better by, you know, 2022. Well, that's the great news of our forecast is, you know, we should be pretty good to be able to weather any storm that a recession would bring.
I know one of the other comments that was sent in by one of the members of the Finance Committee was just kind of asking about the impact of TIF revenues and you know, whether that's going to impact any of our maintenance projects, things like that. But no, I thought you had a nice response to that if you want to just talk a little bit about that.
Really, the TIF revenue would impact our permanent improvement fund more than anything. You know, there is some of that money that is hitting our general fund, but if it were to decrease, that's most likely going to hit our permanent improvement fund. We've got some projects where we've already bid for, like, for instance, some paving and a roofing project. So the projects that were already planned for this coming summer are already partway, you know, or either started or the planning process is pretty far down the road. Money is already in place for those projects to happen. So if we did have a significant cut in TIF funding or something like that, we would probably look at next summer's projects, summer of 2021, We could make adjustments to those projects at that time to be able to stabilize the fund.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay. My report, we actually had a community coffee on May 14th, which feels like it was about a year ago. We did, Mr. Smith and I attended that. We did use social distancing, and nobody showed up for the coffee, but we did have a server who sat down and talked to us and really about her concern about students' social, emotional well-being while schools are closed. And we encouraged her, and really anybody who's listening to this today, if you have any concerns about students, you can always reach out to our building principals, to the board office. Our staff, as you heard, is checking on kids. There's lots of resources out there. So we just encourage you to reach out if you have any concerns. Our coffees are obviously on hold right now. We also had a work session on March 2nd to review our work plan and to discuss agenda and presentation topics. Since then, Mr. Luke and I have spoken a little bit about one of our action steps for C4. You should have received an email this morning with some guidelines. And I just thought if anybody has any questions about that right now. If not, I think our plan is to move forward with that and hopefully have that action item completed here pretty soon. Any questions about that? I appreciate your help with this, or your guidance, or your leadership, Mr. Luke. How's that? On student achievement, there are just so many creative things going on right now. It's amazing. For my report, I shared some links that were sent from Kim Miller Smith. She sent a link that had the webinar about House Bill 197. You know, that's something that as board members, we need to be keeping up to date with all of the changes in legislation that are impacting education. So if you haven't had a chance to watch that, I encourage you to do that. Let's see. I also like to share that we had 5 high school students and 1 Marysville alumni participate virtually in the JASCO speech contest on April 5th. And that JASCO is the Japanese American Society of Central Ohio. And they sponsor a speech contest. I'm not sure how many years they've done it, but 2 of our 5 students placed earning 2nd and 3rd place awards. So congratulations to them. And if you're interested, there is a YouTube video of the entire contest. I think it's about 5 hours long. But you'd like to hear some pretty amazing Japanese speakers, you can tune into that. Also, as Mr. Smith had said, several of us have attended some virtual town hall meetings hosted by Ohio School Board Association. They're really a great way to share ideas, hear how others are responding to the crisis. Some of the topics included the role that the board plays during the crisis, and for that, they were just saying how important it is to let your superintendent lead the charge, be there to support them, and assure our community that we're still meeting and serving as board members. Also talked about, ways to identify child abuse or neglect. So again, I just love the fact that if teachers are having a hard time connecting with people, we're having somebody go and double check on them just to make sure everybody's safe, or you know, make sure that they've got some issues that can address them. Another topic, as Mr. Smith said, was honoring our seniors. Really it's a great opportunity to network and share ideas. This morning I attended a chamber meeting. And from that, just a reminder to everybody to complete your census, because that does impact federal dollars that come through Ohio. And the chamber is rolling out a new logo and motto: reconnect, rebuild, recover. They really highlighted the great work being done in our community and the collaboration between all parties. And finally, OSBA Business Honor Roll. OSBA gives school boards an opportunity to recognize up to 4 businesses and special project partners. We've kind of chosen to do monthly building partner recognition, but if we would, if anybody would be interested in recognizing a business through OSBA, there is a form that's it's a pretty brief form that needs to be filled out. It's due tomorrow, and anybody that we would recognize would show up in the OSBA journal and be listed on their website as well. So I don't know if anyone feels strongly about trying to honor people both through OSBA as well as locally. You know, I'd be happy to fill out that form and get it turned in tomorrow, or if we, you know, want to stick with our local recognition, which obviously is on hold right now because we're not meeting as a group or not meeting in person. But I just wanted to throw that out there. So any comments about that?
Well, Sue, I know I talked to you about that, and as we've kind of worked through that, I don't want to do anything that diminishes our local recognition. I really like having each building recognize their business partners and so forth, and I think that we have an opportunity in the fall. There's some other opportunities, so. If we're making a choice, I think there's probably some things that would be more important and maybe a more significant recognition that we can do other than this.
Okay. All right. Any other comments?
I just want to say that we are very, very fortunate in Marysville to have so many businesses that have been willing to partner with our school districts in a number of ways. And I do appreciate the monthly each school recognizing someone. I think it gives it a very personal touch. And it helps build that relationship wider and broader with the local recognition.
Yeah. I know I was thinking maybe, you know, when we have our Good Apple Awards, I think we had talked about maybe the school board having our own specific Good Apple Award too. I know there's one from the board office, but maybe, you know, that's something we could talk about and pick the business that maybe has stuck out the most, either from updates from Diane or just from our visits, things like that.
It's a good idea.
Okay. Then that's it for my report. So Mr. Smith, legislative report.
Hopefully you got a copy of the written report from me earlier today. There are a number of issues that are being covered in the state legislature. As mentioned, House Bill 197 was the bill that was chosen to try to address a lot of the questions and issues with the schools closing and so forth. And a lot of the questions that we had were answered in that bill. There are some questions, as I mentioned, with the Ed Choice and state report cards and territory shifts from one district to another that were included in House Bill 166 really are troublesome and we need to look at. I provided in the written report some letters, emails that were sent to Congressman Jordan, to Senator Burke and Representative Richardson addressing funding on both the local and the state level. I'm encouraging particularly Representative Richardson to push forward with House or Senate Bill 134, which is school bus safety. It's a significant problem. We have just about every day someone passing a stopped school bus, and this hopefully would provide some additional safety for the kids in that respect. The other thing that's been a focus is the territory transfer from one district to another. It got stuck in at last minute in House Bill 166, and it's still sitting there. And I gave you a copy of an email that I sent to our state legislators outlining some of the issues and problems with it. And I hope to be able to speak to Representative Richardson about this. I've got a call into her and we haven't been able to make connections yet. So, and that's my report.
Any questions or comments? Thank you very much. Okay, next up, I believe, do we have a safety or drug committee report?
No, Diane, they're not, or I'm sorry, Sue, they are not doing any meetings or anything right now, and I've not been notified of any virtual meetings as well. So I'm assuming everything's just on hold right now there because I haven't been notified personally or through my office.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Next, I would accept a motion to approve our draft minutes from three prior meetings, our regular meeting for March, or meeting for February, our March 2nd special meeting, and our March 20th special meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Any questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, I would accept a motion to approve the treasurer CFO items.
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any comments, Mr. Johnson?
So you have 2 months worth of financials, February and March. Really already talked about the cash flow when doing the five-year forecast, so I won't get into that unless you have any questions. There also would be 2 months worth of appropriations updates. The significant one in there is an increase in the Permanent Improvement Fund appropriations, and that again is for projects for this coming summer that were already part of the PI forecast.
If there are no questions or comments, we'll have a roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. All right. Next, we have some Board of Education items. I would accept a motion to approve. Remember, if we're going to do this all together as one. Let's just do one motion for all of them. If that's all right, a motion to approve all of these Board of Education items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. So in here we have some resolutions relating to COVID-19. The first one is giving authority to our superintendent and treasurer to take necessary actions during the closure of our schools. The second one is the resolution for an extension of our remote learning plan. The third one is a resolution to amend the NEA bargaining member evaluation process. And then the last item on there is an amendment to our superintendent's contract. And that one is simply taking out a word Ohio from, let me get a copy right here. If she's going to have some further training, we reimburse her tuition costs for training up to 6 semester hours. within one academic year, and her original contract said that it had to be in an Ohio accredited institution of higher learning, and we're simply taking out the word Ohio. So just, it has to be earned at an accredited institution of higher learning. Diane, did you want to make any comments about any of those other resolutions? Does anybody have any questions about those resolutions?
You were muted, Diane.
Oh, did you have a comment, Diane?
Yep, sorry about that.
I thought you were kind of quiet.
We worked with the union to develop the remote learning and the evaluation. In essence, obviously with the year being cut short, we didn't have the ability to finish everyone's evaluation, but in essence, if you were completed, your principal can meet with you and do your final review and you're done. If your evaluation was not completed, you roll over to next year, I think is the most important part of that. But great to have a strong working relationship with the union in order to come to a solution on that.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
So Diane, if we get back in the buildings in May, is the last day of the school year still the same?
Yes.
Okay. And the other question I had was, in one of the resolutions, it mentioned students without access to computer or internet. Mm-hmm. are permitted to complete the posted lessons in an alternative manner. Mm-hmm. So I know you were talking about this a little bit earlier. How many students are in that boat?
I'm going off requests for hotspots. Let me go back to that page. We had 60 requests for hotspots, but in the meanwhile, students have been given hard copies.
Okay.
Depending on the grade level, again, it's all worked a little bit differently. And we are looking at maybe even having some pickup locations outside of the building for kids moving forward. But we've been able to provide alternative ways. Really what that speaks to, if you remember with our Blizzard bags, kids have 2 weeks to turn them back or turn stuff in once they return. And the way the legislation is written is your new policy has to mirror that language. So students would have, in essence, 2 weeks to turn in assignments once they returned.
Okay. And I know you made that comment kind of going back to the relationship that we have with the union, and I know if this meeting would have been like a typical meeting, frequently we have either both or one of the co-presidents of the union there. And it's my understanding that they have shared maybe that they're going to share a video that talks a little bit to the collaboration and the relationship that they have with administration. And I know later when we get to the superintendent items, there's a couple of other things in there that I think really reflect that strong relationship that you have between them. And as a board, we obviously really appreciate the fact that you have that great relationship. So good to hear, good to know. Any other questions or comments about those resolutions? Then roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve a one-year certified contract to Paul Devine for the year 2021.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Abstain. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve a 3-year administrative contract to Thomas Powers, Director of Technology, to start 2021.
So moved.
So moved.
Ms. Savage beat you out there, Mr. Smith. We have a motion from Ms. Savage. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call, please.
It's the internet out in the country.
I know. It's a delayed response.
Yeah. It takes a while for my answer to get there. So.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Abstain.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve Nan Savage as a 1920 volunteer for the school district and to approve a 1-year contract for Emily Savage, teacher, for the 2021 school year.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Luke. Roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Abstain.
Mr.
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, I would accept the motion to approve our superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Ms. Salen.
All right, so you have an MOU with the union to transition some positions that have been considered club into coaching positions in varsity sports. Lacrosse, bowling, gymnastics, we've talked about these years before. Also, the salary schedule, where the recommendation is to place those position in the existing MEA salary schedule. Those items are in there. Also, there's a substitute and other hourly rate sheet with some changes denoted on there. I also, in the HR items, wanted to wish Luann Feisinger well. She did submit her letter of retirement, so certainly I know she's been here for quite some time and active with our students and a positive influence on children, and I know she won't be far away, so hopefully can still reach out to her as a resource for our community, and certainly wanted to wish her well. Also, you will see the resignation of Amy McGlenn from Mill Valley. She's interested in a later agenda item is going back as a coach at Northwood Elementary School. And then you're going to see a long list of contracts for staff and admin. It's that time of year. Additionally, we have first read of policies as well. And I think Todd mentioned earlier, we had some projects already in the works. There's a resolution for asphalt and for roofing. Included in my section as well.
Okay, and I would comment on those policies. There are actually two policies that that we will be voting on. It's the second read.
You're right.
But then there's of the other 11 policies, it's a first read, and of note in there is one brand new policy regarding graduation plans, and that's a result of some new legislation that requires schools to draft this policy and come up with plans.
Right.
Yeah.
I apologize. The first two, the agenda format and prep, are up for approval.
Right.
And also, like to mention one of the policies is up for first read on student absences and excuses. Policies in the past tend to treat all absences in the same way. There are some recent changes in language that are recommended where absences are going to be split into medical absences and non-medical absences, which I think makes a lot of sense.
I agree. And I also want to a shout out to Luann Freisinger too. Like you said, she's been in the district for quite a while and she's impacted so many students, and I know she's involved in a variety of things in our community. So we appreciate everything she's done for Marysville, and I'm sure she will look forward to a fun retirement.
I think it's always an interesting time when someone like Luann decides to retire. It's nice to know that she's going to be moving to retirement, be able to do the things that she wants to do, but it certainly is a significant loss to our district. She's a great person, a great teacher, and has been a mentor to a lot of teachers in our district.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And we are now to the comments and questions from board members. So I'll start with you, Mr. Smith.
Well, thank you very much. I had a couple of things that I wanted to talk to. We voted on Tom Powers, a contract for him, and he and the entire tech department have been doing just an absolutely incredible job. We're relying more and more on technology, providing the platforms for teachers, providing the instruction, the guidance, providing the wherewithal, whatever it happens to be that students need. They have done an amazing job, and he's provided very necessary and important leadership in getting that taken care of. So I wanted to mention that. This was mentioned, the remote learning experience document that's going to be going out. I really think this is a great document. I was very pleased that there's a lot of identification of the terms that are used, providing definitions so that everybody has a chance to be on the same page. Also with remote learning and things in the board notes from the schools, there were a couple things that I, as I was going through all of those, that I thought were important to note. In Creekview, we learned that in terms of the social studies writing piece that they went out, they were going to be talking about using corn as an energy source and writing about that. And they've had to make some adaptions, and they're looking at trying to figure out how to take this writing experience and apply it in a more extended basis. Tri-Academy, the seniors in that building are doing a legacy capstone where they're going to be doing something that they will leave at Tri-Academy, a part of themselves. They're going to work with the community, work with the staff there, come up with some idea that will allow them to leave their mark at that school, and I think that's fantastic. And at Triad, this is maybe what kind of prompted my thinking a little bit. They offered a shout out to Tom and the tech department for all the things that they've done. The Raymond area is really dependent on technology, which may not be as easily accessed as that in in Marysville or closer to Marysville, and they're really working hard as they can to try to make sure that all the families have the service as best as we can do. And I know we'll continue to work to try to improve on everything we're doing. So, thank you.
All right. Mr. Luke, comments?
Well, I'm just impressed that, you know, we're in a place that none of us have been through this before. And yet we're continuing our mission, which is that every child and student in the district gets the best possible education we can deliver. So I'm really impressed and thankful for the way that our administration and staff have jumped in. One of the words in our motto is innovate, and that's what we're doing. We're finding ways to continue educating through this. But I also wanted to thank the parents, because I know a lot of this has fallen on them. You know, they're used to their kids being at school every day. Now their kids are with them, possibly asking them questions about their subject matter or whatever. So I'm also very appreciative of what all the parents in the district are going through. And I'm with you, and I'm supportive of you. We'll get through this, and we'll come out better on the other side.
Thank you. Ms. Powers.
I just like to say to Diane and every one of our staff members out there, thank you. Everyone has joined together, is doing a wonderful job. I couldn't be more proud to be in Marysville. And even on Facebook, when you go in and you see all the comments and everything that the kids' front doors, the teachers having challenges, the kids having challenges, that talks great deal about our community and how we are as one. So proud to be a Monarch and proud of our entire team and our schools.
Thank you. Ms. Savage.
Innovate, collaborate, and inspire are our mottos. And I want to thank the teaching staff for everything that they have done. They have turned on a dime and basically turned around the way that they teach their students. Thank you for building relationships with students and the teachers and staff for paying attention to social emotional wellness of the kids. And thank you to the parents, because Brian is correct. A lot of this has fallen on to the hands of the parents to take care of and manage. And we're all thankful for the community.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, do you have any comments?
Yeah, I would just note, just thank my office staff, because obviously this is kind of a different situation for them as well. So they're doing a great job. Everybody's getting paid, and things are still being, vendors are being paid, employees are being paid. So they're doing a great job in a challenging time. We even had a young lady who recently started with us, probably no more than a couple weeks before the lockdown, which is obviously, you know, this would be prime time for her to be, you know, being mentored in the office, but she's really taken it upon herself to learn things on her own, as well as, you know, doing things remotely and things like that. So everything's going well here.
Great. Ms. Fallon.
I think everyone has done an amazing job in less than ideal circumstances. The stories of, you know, Mrs. Bowserman checking in on her Alt-K kids and dropping by their house and giving them a little gift, and the tears of the kids and the parents, and, you know, story after story of teachers and community members reading to students so students have someone to read to them. I mean, it's not a great situation, but I think it is another definition, if you will, of our community. It just helps reemphasize what's great about being here. Next week, our two senior leaders from the Pit are kicking off a mental health wellness week. So if you saw our Spirit Week a couple weeks ago, they're going to be doing some things around mental health. I think Monday starts with giving a positive note or a positive shout out to someone that you might think needs it in a very positive way. So I would encourage the board to participate in that. I think it's a great way. We see a lot of people doing it beyond just our school family. So we'll post those out probably Friday and get that started. So kudos to all of them as well. So it's we'll keep doing what we're doing. We'll keep trying to get better at what we're doing. And it's such a, it's really a surreal way to do school at this point. So, you know, keep everyone in your hearts and minds, because I know while we're social distancing, we don't want to lose our social connection, and reach out to teachers or people that you know are struggling. I think maintaining those relationships is only going to get more important as we move forward.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. All right. Well, I know I was, as I was reading through those building notes, it just made me realize how much I can't wait to visit buildings again. So I think we'll all be happy to do that. On another note, just kind of a reminder to request your primary ballot if you haven't voted yet. So ballots need to be postmarked by April 27th, and they'll be counted on April 28th. And really, I think, you know, just listening to all these comments here, there's always a positive in every situation. Think about how we've all learned some new technology, because I doubt if any of us had heard of Zoom before this. We've also been reminded of the importance and the value of face-to-face contact. You know, with the elimination of so many activities, families have the opportunity to enjoy dinner together and play games together and reach out to some people that they haven't talked to in a while. I know I talked to one of my best friends from high school that I probably hadn't talked to for about 10 or 15 years. So as we return to whatever that new normal is, I hope we don't forget some of these things that we're learning. And then I also want to thank Billy for hosting our meeting today and the entire IT department. You guys are doing an incredible job. And thanks to all of our staff. Stay safe, we're in this together. And like I said, always feel free to contact us if you have any questions or you just want to talk to somebody. So with that, I would accept a motion to adjourn.
One thing, if I can, I got a message from Diane. It's a video from the MEA co-presidents. Was that intended to be part of this meeting?
That I had referenced that we should be receiving that, but apparently that video cannot be shown on this platform. So it is available for the board to see that, and perhaps we can reference it next month as well at our meeting. Thank you for asking that.
You lose the audio, and we didn't realize that on a Zoom when you play a video. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Pardon? What was that?
I move we adjourn.
All right. We have a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Is that for Mrs. Powers, I believe? Okay.
Yes.
Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Meeting is adjourned at 5:37. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Thank you.
Stay well.